Hello, Soil Nation. This is the Topsoil Podcast. Welcome back. It's been a long time out and about, just working away. Trent and myself, Mitchell Hora here, we've been real busy keeping after it, running businesses and helping farmers, making things happen. But we're excited to be back. We're going to hit it back again here real hard. And essentially going into, I suppose you could say, season two of the Topsoil Podcast. We're excited to be working with the Global Ag Network now and going to be able to hit it hard, bring you guys good content and try to be entertaining, but try to be very informational along the way and help us all to learn. And we're learning right along with you. We're excited to do it and excited to bring that up-to-date information, up-to-date learning, resources to you guys as we're learning along the way. Like I said, part of what we want to evaluate here and experiment with is a little bit different formatting than what we did originally, going off of some question and answer kind of content. And we want to foster that communication with our listeners and between myself and Trent and those that we work with in our day-to-day experiences in our businesses. But wanting to foster better communication, foster more learning with all of our listeners and be able to help you out and answer your questions. Part of what we want to do is various, just kind of a question of the day type of a deal, provide some of our feedback, provide some information, provide some resources, and foster a conversation. And so shorter episodes for the most part, quick content, make you think, provide some information, foster some learning, and keep moving regenerative ag, soil health, sustainability, cover crops, moving that whole space forward, trying to learn together and foster a good conversation. My question today was one Trent and I discussed here a couple days ago, looking at soil test results. And we've been doing a ton of them. My company, Continuum Ag, we do soil testing all over the place and helping to make fertility recommendations. So Trent was asking about, he's got some results coming back from one of his customers that is showing pretty low and in phosphorus and potassium, fairly sporadic pH, and base percentages that were also kind of all over the place. Some of them were looking really good, some of them were not so good. So what would I do in that kind of a situation? So starting off, looking at P and K, you know, if we've got low PK, the go-to is still using MAP and potash, you know, so monium ammonium phosphate and potash, you know, for our potassium chloride. Are they the best tools for soil health and overall all-around best tools to use? I don't know. Probably not, but that's a common practice, readily available, cost effective, and tools that I think are okay for us to continue to use for right now, especially if we're working on other methods of building soil balance, building biological activity, and just building overall soil health with reducing tillage and using cover crops and whatnot. You know, I'm gonna call on those fields that are well below our thresholds that we want to get applied some MAP and some potash based on those fertility recommendations. The soil results that he showed, we're looking at about 200 pounds of each product being broadcast applied. Strip till would be awesome as well. Working on those 4Rs and optimizing the placement of the fertility. Where I more so wanted to get into is looking at our sporadic pHs in the field and very all over the place base percentages. And when looking at soil base percentages, we're looking at our percent calcium, magnesium, potassium is often included as well, and other bases as well, hydrogen and other bases. And what we want is we want to create a good balance in that system, but those balances are not a one-to-one kind of a balance. Typically, in calcium and magnesium is the big one that we're really focused on, creating some balance. And typically we want about a 5-to-1 relationship there. 5 parts calcium to 1 part magnesium. And you, typically that's driven off of our base percentages. So that usually works out to about the tone of a calcium base percentage in the upper 60s or even at 70. And our magnesium base percentages in the low teens, you know, kind of that 12 to 14 kind of a range. So if I've got a calcium base percentage that's closer to 55 or 60% calcium, and magnesium, which is 22 to 25% magnesium, which is extremely common for most of my farmers that I've just getting going on working with and new farms that we're on, most of them are at that kind of a level where we need to improve calcium, we need to lower our magnesium. Oftentimes these fields are very heavy, they have poor drainage, and we need to be able to get that fixed. We need to be able to get water to infiltrate better. We need to be able to improve our pore spaces, improve our micro and macro pore spaces in order to improve biological activity, nutrient efficiency, and water infiltration. The whole point there being that calcium and magnesium and that relationship between the two is helping us to actually improve our soil structure at a molecular level. That calcium and magnesium are on the same line on the periodic table of elements. It's just that calcium is right below magnesium and that it's significantly larger as far as molecular weight, and that molecular size is significantly larger than the magnesium molecule. So when you combine those calcium molecules together, there's more pore space between them, even though that's now, you know, down at the molecular level. But it's the same kind of deal that how sand silt clay works in conjunction with each other, that a lot of sand particles, that means that there's a lot more macro pore space in between them and a lot more water holding capacity down as far as infiltration rates to get that water down through all that sand. Or if you have a clay soil, very small particles, very tightly packed, hard to get water to go down and through that. Same kind of thing for if we have a very high magnesium soil, hard to get water down through, hard to get other nutrients to be able to work and be available in the right way, hard to get roots to go through, hard to for our microbes to be able to fully function and live. So we're doing a lot of work, you know, in these situations at utilizing things like gypsum, utilizing things like better ag calcium, and just high calcium lime, you know, and getting rid of our more dolomatic limes, high magnesium limes. We want a calcitic lime. And be able to just continue to work that magnesium down. It could take a long time. Magnesium has a positive 2 charge. It's going to hold very tightly in the soil. So it's going to take some time in order to get that soil balanced out. But overall, back to the question from Trent, you know, what would I do with a spranic lime need and a base percentages I really need fixed? We'd be looking at doing our soil sampling programs out there and being able to variable rate lime applications, mostly looking at a high calcium lime or a gypsum. That way we can reduce that magnesium content, improve our soil tilth, improve that soil balance, improve structure at the molecular level, and improve microbial activity just overall, getting that soil to work in the way that we want it to. And I think in a system like that where the whole field doesn't necessarily maybe all need it, that's what variable rate lime is for. That's a perfect opportunity for it, and that's super cheap to be able to do it, extremely cost effective, and fixing your pH is step number one at improved soil health, improved nutrient availability, improved microbial life, and getting the whole system just to function as a living dynamic continuum is what we call it. So now, kind of leading into the next episode, and to foster conversation, I want to ask Trent a question here now, and that is, now we're in middle of November, what are we looking at now for cover crop decisions? How does my mindset need to change? What are my options? What can I still do? Maybe leading all the way up into first part of December What do I need to do? What needs to be going through my mind as a guy looking at using some cover crops? Thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure to subscribe, and we look forward to bringing you a lot more content going forward.